You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the latest interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We can delve into a variety of subjects and what have you. But, you know, I feel like heading into this week, there are just so many things going on in the world. I mean, I feel like the rundown that we come up with, the little outline sheet that we do, almost wrote itself this week. I mean,
it's packed. And, you know, we even had to leave some stuff off because just it seemed like all of a sudden all the news happened all at once.
Yeah, there's a lot of news, a lot of controversies going
on. It's mostly
on.
Just controversy.
Controversy!
I made this comment before the show that it feels like so far in 2015, every show has been like, oh, let's talk about this controversy. Oh, let's talk about this controversy or criticism, you know?
Yeah.
And it continues this week, so.
By God! What the hell's going on tonight?
Yeah, Ric Flair, we all need an explanation because we're going to have a lot of stuff to get to, and we will inform you about all the controversies we have prepared to talk about with you on this show. Just a lot to get to. So before we dive into that and ravage your mind with everything,
minds.
Yeah, we're gonna come at you fast and hard with all the headlines. But first, let's take it nice and easy with a little bit of introductions. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. I'm glad.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
Yeah, sorry. There's a lot of innuendo in what I said.
Yeah, we're going to ravage them fast and hard. Really, Rich?
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
Are we at least
tickle?
Tickle.
All right, let's get to you.
Are we at least going to buy them a nice dinner first, or is it just straight to...
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
They get a Hot Pocket.
Two birds with one stone, right?
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. right in bed, too.
You want pepperoni or Philly cheesesteak Hot Pocket?
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
All right.
I'm happy to announce that I survived the Snowpocalypse Armageddon.
Oh, my gosh.
2015.
Yes, you know what? Speaking of controversy, I totally forgot about that. Yeah,
How did you forget?
We were supposed to have this.
It was nonstop news coverage for a week.
You know why? Because we didn't get any goddamn snow.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk.
They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, the Sunday and Monday heading into what was supposed to be one of the biggest snowstorms in the Atlantic region. It was everywhere. And then it hit and nothing happened, at least here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we were hanging out Sunday and we were like watching the Weather Channel. Like, oh, they're saying
16
inches. Oh, what are we going to do? It's going to be bad. And then.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I got to get the bread and milk.
They said snow. I got to get the bread and milk. I got to get the bread and milk. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was like that.
Well, luckily, I didn't run out and buy any bread and milk.
Why not?
Well, because I just didn't feel like it, but...
What happens if we got 14 inches?
Well, we didn't. We got, like, three.
But what happens if we did?
If we did, well,
you wouldn't have had food!
I would just...
How would you have survived?
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk.
They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh, my God!
I wouldn't have bread or milk.
I love that clip because that is... I mean, for those that aren't from the Philadelphia area, that is, like, true. I can't believe how
when you're watching the news, they always talk about, like, oh, all the hardware stores are out of shovels and the grocery stores are out of bread and milk. It's, like, always... It is.
it's always bread and milk.
Yeah, it is. It's so true.
Yeah. Just in case we need to make French toast.
Like, enough French toast to feed the town.
Yeah,
just in case.
Just in case.
You know?
blizzard of storm comes this way. Get the French toast.
French
ready.
Toast, morning, noon, and night, around the clock.
Yeah,
just nonstop French toast.
Right. So
use the French toast to batten down the hatches. You know, like yeah. Nail it up over the windows. I don't know why you're doing that in a blizzard, just in case. But that's how I spent my blizzard time. Not panicking.
Good
so
job.
How did you spend your blizzard time, Rich?
Yeah, I slept, and I was really looking forward to a snow day. You know, I was like, man, I'm gonna get called out of work. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna spend all day Tuesday at home. And then I woke up. No, there's snow out there. There's snow outside. There's no snow outside. No Sorry.
Yeah, there's no snow. See, you're still thinking.
I know.
You're still thinking you want there to be snow on the ground.
Yeah, I know. I was so disappointed. I was actually looking forward to a day off.
Luckily, my place of employment already shut down the day before. On Monday, they said, that's it. We're closed until Wednesday. I said, okay.
So ridiculous panic and for nothing, essentially, here in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah.
Though, apparently up in Boston,
they're
getting hammered.
Yeah, yeah. It just missed us, apparently.
Yep. So I guess that's where all the air went from all the footballs.
Oh. That fucking sucked.
Yes. Yep.
So are you saying scientifically the air pushed the storm system up that way
yeah.
or contributed to the storm system?
All of the air that was supposed to be in the football was released and it attracted a mega snowstorm up north quicker.
I didn't realize air worked that way.
Yes. there's attraction.
Science.
Science.
Attraction.
Yes, there's a science and attraction.
Air goes where there's more air.
Right. Yeah. You know, it attracts. It's great. Yeah.
One air attracts another air.
Yeah, right. And then you get air juniors.
Air juniors, wow.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right.
And that's what humans breathe, right? Air juniors.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Little baby airs.
Yeah, is that that's photosynthesis, right?
Yes, that's what the trees
yes.
do. Yes. Excellent. Don't take science lessons from me.
No. What is the sun?
Oh, that was last
that
week.
That was last week.
Yeah, we didn't know what the sun was. QVC didn't know.
Yeah, it's this glowing orb in the sky. It's the...
And then they didn't know what the moon was either. It's a moon.
It's a planet. No, dude, it's not in the...
It's a moon.
Yeah, you got to go back and listen to the last episode to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
There you go. Incentive. In case you haven't already listened to it.
There you go. Check that last episode out if you want to understand what the moon is, according to QVC. All right. That's enough. That's enough teasing. I think we've got a lot of headlines to get to.
Yes, we do.
So let's launch into it with our first segment. It's the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep. Sports in your face. And we got a lot of topics to get to because, you know, before we can even talk about the big event coming up this weekend, we still have to face repercussions from a big scandal from last week. It's still going on. Are you kidding
right.
me, Mike?
We're talking about hashtag Deflategate.
Oh, my gosh, really?
More controversy is racking the NFL, the Patriots in particular. Yeah, it's been ongoing, nonstop. The NFL doesn't know what to do about it.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
Yep, that is an actual wow. quote from Bill Belichick that he said in a press conference. I did not edit that. That is an actual quote he said.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
But, yeah.
Wow.
This controversy is just getting out of hand. It's just one thing after another.
It just won't go away. It's ridiculous.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
Yep.
When you have to have coaches come out to say that they've handled balls, I mean, come on. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. And I mean, that was not taken like earlier from last week. That was last Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, they should be focusing on the Super Bowl. Instead, they're talking about the air pressure of footballs.
Yeah. We're talking about whether or not the balls had 10 cubic feet of air or 12.
Cubic feet?
What is it?
I think it's PSI. Rich.
PSI. Whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
Were they playing with a hot air balloon?
Yes.
Boy, that football looks really weird. Why does it have a rainbow on it? Look, why is it shooting flames?
Look, I'm sorry. I'm not scientist Bill Belichick. I haven't been handling balls the past week.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
Yeah,
it's
all
Bill,
right.
It's Bill Belichick, the science guy.
Right, yeah. I'm not Bill Belichick. Yeah, I haven't been fondling balls the last week. All right?
That's good to know, Rich.
Yes.
That's good to know.
It's not exactly my thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, apparently it's Bill Belichick's thing.
Yes.
Do not yes. spit that water out on the floor.
I got it. Don't worry.
Okay. But you know what? The NFL, despite all our joking, the NFL is taking this incredibly serious, Rich.
Too seriously.
Too seriously, yeah, in our opinion. But the handling of balls is a very important subject for the NFL, so much so that they've released an official statement about ball handling.
Fine. Let's hear this.
Be gentle with... No, I'm kidding. They said, it's a really long statement. It's like five paragraphs long, so I'm only going to read two lines. The two lines that I think are the most important. One is that prior to the game officials inspect the footballs to be used by each team and confirm that this standard is satisfied, which was done before last Sunday's game. So they're saying that, yes, the balls were properly inflated at the beginning of the game, but the statement goes on to say, quote, while the evidence thus far supports the conclusion that footballs that were underinflated were used by the Patriots in the first half. The footballs were properly inflated for the second half and confirmed at the conclusion of the game to have remained properly inflated. So for all those people out there saying it gave them an unfair advantage, you're right. It did give one team an unfair advantage, the Colts, because in the first half, the Patriots only put up 17 points. And in the second half, the Patriots put up, I don't know, like 30?
Yeah.
So... You know, that sort of takes the air out of the argument about giving the Patriots an advantage.
Nice one.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's the NFL's official response.
Yeah. Well, there's much more to it. They're saying that they're going to review scientific information, physical evidence, video and other electronic information. I mean, they have research firms and investigations.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
Yeah. Basically, that's what the NFL is saying. They're going to be handling a lot of balls during this investigation.
Good. Awesome. Great to hear. Thank you, NFL.
But the thing that I take away from this statement is, again, what I pointed out, that the Patriots had properly inflated footballs for the second half, the half where they did most of their scoring, the half where the Colts completely fell apart.
Yeah.
So to answer the question, did it have any bearing on the outcome of the game, once again, is... No.
Yeah, I agree, too. It doesn't matter.
No.
Go ahead. What does it do? Take two touchdowns away?
Yeah. Well, according to the NFL statement, the balls were underinflated in the first half. So it takes 17 points away, I guess, if you want to.
Guess what? The Patriots still won.
They still won.
Congratulations.
By several scores.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's interesting, though, that so much attention is being paid to this Deflategate controversy.
There is. It's everywhere.
I mean, I it's almost more than the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson issues.
Yeah.
I mean, we got together over the weekend and we watched a bit of the Pro Bowl. And they had like four or five people come on, the commentators did, to talk to them. And they asked every single one of them about what?
Deflategate. Yep.
Yeah. And that's ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean, I know the Pro Bowl isn't that interesting. But still, when you ask like four or five different people about Deflategate, what does Chris Carter have to say about Deflategate?
Yeah, he got really serious about it.
Yeah, they all got really, yeah. It's the amount of precedence they're placing on this is just ridiculous.
Yeah. So you know what? I'm going to flip the script.
Okay, go ahead.
Instead of getting serious on Deflategate, let's go comedic.
All right.
And to show you how prevalent this is getting, I've got two clips here for you.
Okay.
And the first one is the hilarious comedian Louis C.K. He was on the Letterman show last week, and the topic came up.
Of course.
Why not? And this is Louis C.K.'s take on it.
About the Super Bowl. What do you care? Do you like? Do you want? Do you know anything?
Well, I'm from Boston, so I'm a Patriots fan.
Yeah. Why are they so oily?
Well, because they want to win real bad.
Yeah.
So... sometimes you do stuff that's not fair so that you can win. I have no problem with it. I think it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Why not? It's a stupid football game. Yeah. I mean, just deflate the balls, poke a guy in the eye or whatever. Yeah. It's football.
But now, I put a lot of thought to this because I don't have a, I mean, other than the fact that they beat my Indianapolis Colts.
Well, yeah.
And people, football people tell me that an underinflated football usually represents about 45, 50 points.
In difference, exactly. Difference like in a game. That's a stretch.
So now I'm hot.
Right.
So there you go. Yeah, perfectly illustrated by both Louis C.K. and David Letterman.
Yeah. An underinflated football accounts for 45, 50 points. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So unless you can make that argument to me, and good luck in trying to, this whole Deflategate shouldn't have been a whole scandal. I also have another funny clip to show you how far this has gotten in society. Deflategate was actually the cold open feature on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, boy.
Yep. In this skit, Tom Brady answers questions about Deflategate, but tries to be coy as to how smart he is on the situation. So let's do it.
Hey, Tom, did you have anything to do with deflating these footballs?
Me? Absolutely not! Honestly, I wasn't even aware that footballs could be inflated or deflated.
You weren't aware of that?
Look, all I know is that a football is a pigskin, so I just assumed that the air in the football is how much air was inside the pig when it died.
Tom, I think you're pretending to know a lot less than you actually do.
What? Look, guys, I'm just the quarterback, all right? Once I take that snap, all I'm thinking about is throwing bomb-ass spirals to Gronk, man. I'm not worried about the air pressure in the ball. That's nerd stuff. That's honestly above my pay grade.
You make $26.5 million a year.
Yeah, is that a lot? Guys, I don't know things. I'm not a banker. I'm not a science computer.
Did you just say science computer?
Isn't that what you call it? I don't know.
So there you go.
Oh, boy.
The whole cold open, by the way, is very hilarious. There's even a reference to A Few Good Men.
Really?
Yeah. They bring out the what they call the assistant equipment manager.
Yeah.
And they grill him on the matter.
Okay.
And this is great. They actually do A Few Good Men parody in the middle of all this. So let's wrap it up. This is how they do it.
We just want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has balls. And those balls have to be inflated by men with pumps. Who's going to do it? You? You, Reporter Weinberg? You don't want the truth. Because deep down in places you don't talk about at Super Bowl parties, you want me on that ball. You need me on that ball.
Did you deflate the ball?
I did the job I was told to do.
Did you deflate the ball?
You did right, I did. You're damn right I did.
Oh my gosh.
So there you go, just to give you an idea of how prevalent this Deflategate has become. It's everywhere. Late night shows, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It really has taken over all media recently.
Yeah.
Including us.
Right. Hopefully this is the last time we talk about it. I'm officially sick and tired of it.
All right. Well, why don't we just end the talk on Deflategate then? Put it behind us. Let's just assume that, you know,
unless they do it in the Super Bowl.
Unless they do it in the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, do you think this whole controversy will have any effect on it at all?
No. No.
Not at all?
No.
Not even maybe making the Patriots angry, maybe making them want to play harder, or maybe now they don't have underinflated footballs, they won't be able to beat the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think really, you want to know what I think? I think it's just a hype storm created by the NFL to build up hype for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, really, you're telling me that no team has ever played with underinflated footballs in over 100 years of the NFL? Bull. You're lying, okay? I'm telling you. This is all blown out of proportion. Yes, I'm using more air puns to generate hype for the Super Bowl. Because how else are you going to generate hype for the Super Bowl when all you have to do in the week between the championship round and the Super Bowl is watch the Pro Bowl? You know, I think, you know, every,
fix the Pro Bowl.
Everybody that follows the NFL now knows more about properly inflating a football than we do about domestic violence, you know, with the Ray Rice and the Adrian Peterson thing. It's ridiculous the amount of attention being paid to this controversy.
It is.
I think it's all hype. I think it's all hype.
It is.
It makes a good storyline. The Patriots are the bad guys, the dark side, Darth Vader. The Seahawks are the good guys, the young and up-and-comers. The, you know, they don't tamper with their footballs. It's a storyline. That's all it is. Sorry. No. I got really heated there.
Well, there you go. That's Mike's take on it. Me, personally, I'm just going to remember Deflategate that it provided me with this great sound clip.
I've handled dozens of balls over the past week.
I'm sorry.
That is the best thing to come out of it.
Yes.
That is the best thing.
Yes. Bill Belichick. His own words. Right there.
Oh, you know what, though? You know, as ridiculous as Deflategate is, the Super Bowl has other ridiculous aspects going on with it as well, don't they? Doesn't it, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, talking about one of your favorite topics.
Yep.
Vegas betting lines.
Yeah, this is kind of a new tradition now here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, yeah. That when we have the Super Bowl approaching, I go out and I find for you folks the weirdest Super Bowl prop bets that you can actually make in Las Vegas and other places that accept prop betting.
Yeah, I mean, prop bets are just so much fun because they're so absurd sometimes. But you know, when you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, you know, I guess that is something you could bet on because it's something that happens every single time, you know? So what sort of prop bets do we have going into this Super Bowl?
Yeah, some gambling music here for you.
This is gambling music?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay.
It was in Vegas Vacation. I'm running with it.
All right, well, let's do a little bit of gambling. Let's place our prop bets, Rich.
Yep. Here's a favorite of a lot of people. How long will it take this year's singer, Idina Menzel, to sing the U.S. National Anthem? The over-under is 2 minutes, 1 second.
I say longer.
You say over?
I say over, yeah. Because she comes from Broadway. It is Idina Menzel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The famous Frozen singer.
Right. So she came from Broadway. She's known for belting it. I think she's going to end it with a big flourish. That's going to push it over the two, what was it, 2 minute, 1 second?
2 minutes, 1 second.
I think it's going to push it. It's going to be like 2 minutes, 2 seconds.
All right,
it's
fair enough.
Push it right over with that last flourish. What do you think?
I could see the same thing. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And plus, you know, this is probably your only time to shine in front of, you know, a 15 million plus audience live.
Yeah.
So why not drag it out?
Yeah, she's gonna belt it, I think.
Yeah. Here you go. Here's one of my favorite ones for this Super Bowl. Will Marshawn Lynch grab his crotch after scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
No. Because as much as Marshawn Lynch likes to push the boundaries, he doesn't want to start giving up money. So I don't think he's going to do that.
Well, you can actually bet on that. If you bet yes, and he does, it's 6-1. So Maybe, you know, put a $10 bet on it. You get $60 back.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
What do you think? Yes or no?
Probably not.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, why not? Go for it.
Can't believe you can actually bet on that, though.
Yep. Let's do this one. This is the one I was teasing you about earlier.
Okay.
Since we got Bill Belichick in this.
Oh, God.
This is something that is unique to this year's Super Bowl. What type of hoodie will Bill Belichick wear?
I had a feeling it was going to be that.
Yeah.
What are the options?
And it's weird. You can do either sleeves versus sleeveless.
Okay.
You can do the color of the sweater.
Wow.
Yeah, if you bet on red, it's 7-1.
Okay.
So that could be interesting.
It's going to be sleeveless because it's in Arizona.
Yeah.
It's not going to have sleeves.
So
what do you think?
I would imagine it's going to be sleeveless, and I'll go with a gray one.
Gray? I'm thinking Patriots, like navy blue.
All right. That is the favorite, obviously, blue.
Yeah, yeah.
But, hey, you get red, it's 7-1.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be red.
See, here's something I don't get. Why doesn't Bill Belichick, like, just grab, like, $2,000, go into, like, an anonymous account,
yeah,
bet 7-1 that he's going to wear a red sweater, and then do it?
Yeah.
He could clean up.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So be a coach that is known for a particular clothing style and then bet for yourself and then wear that style.
Right. Perfect.
And then profit.
Question mark profit.
Profit, yeah.
There you go. Here you go. Halftime show. Big Katy Perry show.
Oh, okay.
She's pretty cute.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So this is something. What will she be wearing? You can bet on what she's wearing. The options are pants, which means anything below the knee, shorts, anything above the knee, or specifically a skirt or dress.
It's going to be a skirt or dress.
Uh-huh.
Come on, it's Arizona, it's Katy Perry. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen her in pants.
Maybe shorts. I'd say shorts.
You think shorts?
Yeah, you know, show off that booty.
Okay. I could see that. Super Bowl, yeah, maybe some jean shorts and like a Super Bowl t-shirt or something.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all right.
I'd go with that one. Let's see. There's so many crazy ones. I literally printed out three sheets. It's nuts. Here you go. You can bet on how many viewers the game will have.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
The over-under is 113 million.
Ah. Oh. Over, I think.
All right.
I think so.
I'd say probably more.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big event.
I don't know what the normal viewership is like, though, so I might be wrong.
It's got to be at least 100.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
And this one's going to be extra hyped because of, again, the Deflategate. And the Patriots and Seahawks are like the two biggest franchises right now.
Right.
So this is going to draw a crowd.
All right. Let's get to Deflategate.
There
is one.
How many footballs will be underinflated by the end of the game?
Nope. How many times will the word deflated balls be said during the game?
5,000.
There you go. The over-under is actually three times. I'd easily take the
over
on that one.
Definitely over. They're going to say it three times in the opening minute. They're going to say the Deflategate controversy in which the Patriots deflated footballs. And then deflated footballs.
Oh, wait. I just realized something. Here's something that I should have read, too. There's actually specific, like, rules.
Okay.
So
do they have to say deflated footballs?
They have to say deflated or deflate balls. And it's only during gameplay from kickoff until whistles.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if there's no play happening, that doesn't count. I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
So if it's just, like,
halftime doesn't count.
Okay, and like banter during challenges and timeouts doesn't count? Or does that count?
I don't think that does.
Really?
It has to be during the game.
Wow. So. Then actually, if it's during the game, then maybe not. Maybe under.
Yeah. So
because I think they're going to talk about it anytime they need to fill air.
Yeah, so don't forget, you got to read these little disclaimers on these bets.
Yeah, read those rules closely.
Yeah. All right, let me do this one here. This one is why I don't know why these two things are comparable, but why not? You can do it in Vegas. You can bet on this specific bet. What will be higher? A, Russell Wilson's passing yards in the Super Bowl, or the U.S. national average gas price in cents on Monday after the Super Bowl?
In cents?
Yeah. So, like, if Russell Wilson throws for 275 yards and the national average for gas price is $2.22, Russell Wilson wins the
right
bet.
Right. Oh, wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
who
thought of this? Gas prices.
You know what? Russell Wilson doesn't pass that much. So it might be the gas prices are higher. I honestly think they might lean on Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
There's a good possibility. What do you think?
I
don't know what the average price is. I know around here it's like, what, like 240-ish?
I'd say national average is probably around like 2.25.
2.25?
Yeah.
That's close.
I know.
That is really close.
That's actually a good bet.
That is a good bet.
Whoever came up with that, get a pat on the head.
Yeah, a pat on the head. What are they, a dog? Good boy, Vegas man.
Good job, odds maker.
Good job.
If I get a dog, I'm naming him odds maker.
Odds maker?
There you go.
This is my puppy, odds maker.
Poops and he tells me which team I should bet on. It's great.
You put down like logos of the helmets and whichever one he poops on, that's the team you bet on.
Right. That's the one you put your money on.
And he's accurate 92.8% of the time.
Yeah. And when he has diarrhea, man, he's off the charts.
Bet on both teams. Wow, you went there. I was thinking it, but you actually went there.
Why not?
Here's a prop bet. Rich's dog. Solid or diarrhea. What other prop bets we got?
All right. Let's do last couple ones here.
Okay.
We have, of course, our favorite. What color will the Gatorade be dumped on the head coach of the winning Super Bowl team?
It's funny because I think I just heard this. I re-listened to that promo recently. We did this last year.
Yeah.
We talked about chocolate Gatorade. Remember right. that? There's no chocolate Gatorade, though.
No, there's no chocolate Gatorade.
What are the options, though?
The odds have shifted a little bit.
Really?
Orange is now the favorite.
I was just going to say that.
3-2 odds. Yellow is next, 5-2 odds. Clear or water is 3-1. Blue and red are next at 15-2. But still green is the long shot, 10-1.
Really? Nobody likes green.
I guess.
What flavor is green?
Like a lime, I think.
See, because you have to go by flavor. And here's my thinking. Orange is popular. Lemonade-ish is popular, as is water. I think if the Patriots win, it's going to be water. If the Seahawks win, it's going to be maybe green.
Oh, there you go. Seahawks there's your green. Long shot.
Yeah, Seahawks green. So that's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking?
I would have to imagine it's going to be blue or red.
Really?
Yeah, they're very tasty colors.
They are tasty. I do enjoy a good red every once in a while.
Yeah, I'll have some of the yellow and yellow. Some of the blue. So why not? Run with it.
Yeah,
that actually makes
not?
Sense because I'm using a song from Vegas Vacation.
Yeah,
so I'll have some of the yellow. And I got one more for you.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, wait, actually, I should do this one. You know, everyone likes this one. Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first in his interview?
Okay.
The favorite is my teammates, 3-2. God, 2-1. So, God, bet on yourself. Fans of the city that they're in, 15-2 odds. The owner, 12-1. The coach, 15-1. Family, 15-1.
So, oh, boy.
That's
I think
a traditional one.
If the MVP is Russell Wilson, I think it could be the fans. Because doesn't he say go Hawks all the time?
Yeah, but he's a big God believer.
Oh, that's true. He is a big God
believer. So, God, you might be the favorite on that one.
Oh, boy. So what do you think? What if Tom Brady's the MVP? We just discussed Wilson, but what about Tom Brady?
I'd like to thank the deflated balls.
Just going to say the ball assistant.
Yeah, the ball
assistant. For deflating those balls to help us to get here. And the media just goes wild.
Yeah. All right. And let's end this special segment on this random bet that I found.
Okay.
You can do a parlay bet.
What's that?
It means a bet and another bet.
Okay.
You can do a parlay bet of the Super Bowl and the following Groundhog Day.
God.
Groundhog Day is the following day.
Okay.
Yes. Don't forget about Groundhog Day, folks.
Okay.
And you can bet on both instances. And if you do, your odds are 250 to 100.
Okay.
So, for example, you would have to bet Patriots win the Super Bowl and Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow.
But he always sees his shadow. Do people realize it's rigged?
Not Vegas, apparently.
No, but it is. Technically, winter doesn't end until 6 weeks after Groundhog Day, when, like, the solstice or the equinox or whatever.
But it's what the guys proclaim at the festival.
But
the festival.
He always sees his shadow.
Well, no, sometimes they say he doesn't.
No, he always sees his shadow. I'm pretty sure he's seen it every single time.
No, he cannot.
That's bull.
There's an option here in Vegas. It says Punxsutawney Phil does not see his shadow.
Well, I'm not choosing that one.
All right, there you go. Betting expert Mike Costanzo. Stay away from that bet.
Well, because it's rigged. He always sees his shadow. I'm pretty sure he's always seen a shadow. I don't remember the last time where he hasn't seen a shadow.
But it can happen.
It's physically impossible to not see your shadow when you've got light bulbs and you're on the stage. And
yes, but they announce whether or not he has or hasn't.
Right, but the joke is that winter doesn't end for another 6 weeks anyway.
The bottom line is, if you pick
what are you saying?
You pick the winner of the Super Bowl and what those say at...
You can't say that.
Whatever. And what they say in Punxsutawney, PA.
Okay.
And you match it up,
okay.
You get $2.50 to every $1 you bet.
All right, well, I don't know what team I'd pick, but I'm definitely not picking the not see a shadow option. What would you
there
pick?
There you go.
What would you pick for Groundhog Day?
You know what? He doesn't see a
he
shadow.
He doesn't? Oh, just to be
but
different.
One year, okay. He's going to do it.
he comes out and he's like a friggin' vampire and doesn't cast a shadow.
Yeah. There you go. So
I have a feeling we're going to have a debate over shadows in the break.
Yeah.
But so, before we do that, well, first off, thank you for those prop bets, Rich. Yeah. Those were amazing.
So there you go. All of those are actual legit bets you can make in Vegas, including that special Groundhog Day parlay bet.
Who thinks of these things?
Yeah. What?
The Super Bowl and Groundhog Day. They should go together.
Yeah, hand in hand.
I do have to say, though, the gas prices one was really good.
Yeah.
That was probably one of my favorites this time, because that's a really tough one, too.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That's all the stupid prop betting that you can do out in Vegas and with the illegal bookmaking, if you want to go that route as well.
Are you advocating illegal gambling, Rich?
No, I'm just saying that you can go that route if you...
Oh, you're just saying it's a possible option.
I believe in America. You can...
Go on.
You can handle things however you want to on your own business.
Including Bill Belichick and his balls.
Right, exactly.
Or the Patriots' balls.
Right. All right. Well, you know what? We've had all that prop betting. That leaves us with only one thing left to do here in the sports sampler.
The most important bet you can make.
It's time for the last pick we will make of the 2014-2015 NFL season.
Do we have a Vader no?
No. Well, I don't have that queued up. But instead, I've got our super fancy dramatic music for our Super Bowl super pick. This is it, folks.
Oh, boy.
Patriots versus Seahawks.
This
winner
is
takes Super Bowl 49. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Oh, boy. I guess I'll start since you put the pressure on me. We got Super Bowl 49. It's the New England Patriots facing off against the Seattle Seahawks in Glendale, Arizona. It's Sunday, February 1st at 6:30 p.m. Make sure to tune in at 6:30 p.m. As for my pick, this is a tough one. I struggle with this one because both these teams have a lot of pros going for them. But I got to say this. It is ridiculously hard in the NFL to repeat Super Bowl victories. I mean, it's only been done a handful of times before. And I've seen the way the Seahawks have played this playoffs. And, you know, they beat the Panthers. They beat the Packers in spectacular fashion. But it was very shaky. Now, I guess you could say Russell Wilson won't let that happen again. But I don't know. I don't know. On the other hand, the Patriots, you know, they won two very good games. They have a very staunch run defense, surprisingly, only letting up 6 rushing touchdowns, which hopefully will be able to compete with the Seahawks' number one ranked run game. I think that the Patriots are going to use that whole Deflategate nonsense as sort of motivation to prove everyone wrong. I think the Patriots are finally looking to get back into their winning ways. And finally, there's a trend I've noticed. In the NFC side of the ball, the Detroit Lions lost in an embarrassing fashion. Then the Cowboys lost in an embarrassing fashion. Then the Packers lost in an embarrassing fashion. Seahawks? Question mark? So I'm going with the Patriots.
All right, so there you go. Mike says the Patriots.
Rich, what do you say? This music is putting me on edge, man.
Yeah, this is the only time I bring it out. This is the dramatic music. All right.
What do you think?
Here's what I'm going to say. All right. You have, you know, one of the most vaulted defenses going up against one of the most historically producing offenses ever in NFL history. Usually when you have a matchup like that, the defense kind of knocks out the other team's offense.
As and shown then, in last year's Super Bowl.
Yes. And then it comes down to the leftover offense and the leftover defense, in which case you're left with Russell Wilson and beast mode Marshawn Lynch taking on the vaulted Patriots defense and Darrelle Revis and that secondary. If there's one thing the Seahawks have learned from this playoff situation that they had to go through, it's that run the freaking ball. You have Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
He is beast mode. If he gets the rock and moves the ball downfield, they should be golden. I'm calling for a old school ground and pound kind of game from the Seahawks. They take the pressure off Wilson. Don't have him throw as much. Reduce that turnover count from 2 weeks ago, and only put the ball in his hands when they need him to.
Okay.
If they do that, I think the Seahawks can pull this one out.
Wow, so you're seeing a repeat.
I want to see the first back-to-back Super Bowl champions since the Patriots.
Yeah, 03-04. Well, we have one last pick.
Yeah, who is it?
That's my brother, John Marino Costanzo, our associate producer. Surprisingly, this is really strange. He's going with the Patriots.
Oh.
He's always picked the, you know, yeah. I've always picked the Seahawks too. Even last week against the Packers, I picked the Seahawks. But we both decided to switch things up and pick the Patriots. So there you go. 2-1 Patriots.
All right. So there you go. That is our official opinions.
I gotta tell you though, this one, I'm not feeling super confident. I feel like the meteorologist with the confidence level. Confidence level is low.
Yeah, what's your confidence level?
Confidence level is low for this storm, yeah.
Oh, Christ, those idiots.
But no, really, this game will come down to a lot of different...
I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh, my God!
Sure.
Yeah. Also, right before the Super Bowl, get your bread and milk.
So you can have your annual post Super Bowl French toast party.
Yeah, don't forget about that.
Wait, are you saying you don't have one prepared for Sunday, Rich?
No, we got to get one ready.
I expect one, Rich.
We have to get one ready. So there you go. Those are our official Super Bowl picks. This is it, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's gonna be fun to watch.
It's sad.
I think it should be a good game.
These are gonna be our last picks until, I don't know when, September, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
oh, man. What are we gonna talk about in sports? Baseball? Golf? Ugh.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get to some golf.
I mean, next week, that's all we got left of football, Rich. It's next week. I'm going to be so sad.
Yeah, Mike will. He can't handle it.
I'm so broken up. I think I need to take a break, Rich.
Your heart is already breaking.
It's already breaking.
At the thought of
Sniffle.
This possibility. All right, well, let's get you some tissues, and you can go have a cry about it. In the meantime, we're going to take a break and get ready for our next segment. Even more news there, because it's the entertainment entree, and there's more controversy in that segment.
Just can't get away from it.
I know. That's the theme of 2015. So we'll get to that. And then after that, we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news, and I've got some crazy stories there for you there as well. So don't go anywhere. Plenty of shows still to come. We'll be right back. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A New York man is accused of hijacking a bakery truck.
What?
And then making random deliveries around New York City while wearing only his underwear and giving bread to random strangers.
Stole a loaf of bread.
Hey, Javert, we found him. We found Valjean.
We found Jean Valjean.
Stole a loaf of bread.
I stole a pastry truck.
Well, this Jean Valjean is David Bastar. David Bastar allegedly stole a Grimaldi's Home of Bread truck, and then he proceeded to drop off rolls, baguettes, and bread at random locations throughout New York City.
He's like a weird combination of Jean Valjean and Robin Hood.
It was very bizarre. People were finding bread in front of their doors.
That's amazing. Instead of getting the newspaper, you get a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Stole a loaf of bread.
Just call him Jean Valjean.
We're going to make a sequel of it. The American version of it.
Yeah.
Just the miserable two. The bread strikes back. If this is the American version, this is Jean Valjean.
Jean Valjean. And Javert.
And Javert.
Epo 9. My name's Jean Valjean. I stole them loaf of bread.
Stole a loaf of bread.
Bastar was pulled over near LaGuardia Central Terminal and was taken to the Elmhurst Hospital psychiatric ward because he was mentally unstable.
Really?
Don't give that away.
Was it the lack of pants or the stolen bakery truck?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling and whatnot, going through all of our news stories to update you on. And in the middle of our headlines and discussion, we found something that we need to update you on again.
Yes.
And that is about the Punxsutawney Phil Super Bowl Groundhog Parlay Bet. Yes.
This just in. Michael was wrong about Punxsutawney Phil. We go to our man on the street, Rich Liebig, to tell us more about the Punxsutawney Phil and how Groundhog's Day actually works.
Yes. Well, as Punxsutawney Phil expert Rich Liebig pointed out, Mike, it can be, it's whatever the guys at Gobbler's Knob say the day
so
of
wrong.
Groundhog Day as to what the future forecast is from our furry little meteorologist.
Yeah. But we found out that there is actually somewhat of a pattern.
Yeah, so for those that are actually interested in making the proposition bet with the Super Bowl and the results of Punxsutawney Phil, we recommend that you bet for an early spring.
Yeah, or doesn't see his shadow.
Yes, because we noticed in the Punxsutawney Phil history, since 2010, it's alternated.
Yeah.
So 2010, it was a long winter. 2011, it was early spring. 2012, long winter. 2013, early spring. 2014, long winter. So this year, if the trend continues, it will be early spring.
Yeah. See, I always thought that it was just a fun little thing to make people realize that winter goes on another 6 weeks. I didn't realize they actually came out with early spring sometimes.
Yep.
Even though it physically cannot happen. It technically physically cannot happen. Because
it
winter...
Technically physically?
Yeah, because... Well, because...
Well, that's all adverbs there.
I like my adverbs. But no, because winter does continue another 6 weeks after Groundhog Day.
Okay.
So, and I'm just speaking, you know, technically, it continues on. So that's why I thought that Punxsutawney Phil would always see a shadow, but apparently that's not the case.
No, it can be the other way.
I disagree. You and your
silly science talk.
Yeah, I should have known. There's no place for science here.
Yeah, not in Pennsylvania.
not in Pennsylvania. Science doesn't work here.
Yeah, screw you, science. I'm going to go listen to this groundhog.
Yeah,
be right back.
Society for what? You said there's a whole society. Apparently,
yeah.
There's more groundhogs. Too.
Yeah, and apparently, if you're really interested, I don't know why you would be, but apparently, there's like different leagues of like beaver predictions and groundhog predictions and
beaver predictions.
Anything that you can think of, there's an.
What
actual...
about like llama predictions?
Maybe.
Is it all types of animals or just like the little furry rodent?
Usually, it's some sort of furry creature.
Okay,
something that lives in a hole.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed. Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? If the beaver is stuffed, do we get more winter or is it the other way around?
You get a lot of violent weather.
A lot of violent weather?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because that means nature's on her period. All right,
wow.
So let's move on.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Enough. That's enough Groundhog Day. Enough nature. Enough all that nonsense. Let's get into our next subject. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Yeah, all right, it's time for the Entertainment Entree. I know we usually use Gary Busey clips to start off the non-fortune cookie odd news, but I figure we play a little bit of Gary Busey because we saw him in a new Amazon Fire commercial with the seashells.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was a weird commercial to see during the Pro Bowl.
That is a weird commercial. He tries to stick a seashell into
a TV.
Into a TV, yeah.
He's just, you know, he's just on his own planet, and you just gotta respect that.
Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt.
You know, he just, that is, you know, emotional to him, that Meatloaf was dancing on a rainbow.
Okay.
There you go. That's Gary Busey logic.
Yeah.
Meatloaf dancing on a rainbow is a legit thing in the Busey universe.
Yeah. I guess so.
And there are 360 ways to see an elephant. If you put an elephant in the center of a circle and go around that circle 1 degree at a time, you will see that same elephant in 360 different perspectives. The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
Is that from the same clip?
Yes, that's the same
really?
Clip.
Really? Yep. Those two parts go together?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yep, the point is you now have the ability to be happy.
Why is seeing the elephant in 360 degrees make someone happy?
It's an elephant. And you can see it 360 different ways.
Wow. I guess that would make people pretty happy.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the elephant one way, but 360 ways.
Yeah. I haven't seen an elephant one way. So what? 360 ways would be ecstatic.
You've never seen an elephant?
I don't think so. Is there one at the zoo? I don't think so.
There should be one at the zoo.
I don't remember seeing one.
Well, you should go to the zoo again.
Yeah. It's
the
probably,
zoo, I don't know. I always like the zoo. I don't know why. Anyway, off track.
There you go.
That's what happens when we start talking about Gary Busey.
Yeah.
We start talking about elephants and zoos. And
yeah, and then we're in a
Meatloaf
black hole
dancing on rainbows and all weird stuff.
The word fear, F-E-A-R, this stands for false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, so don't be afraid, but, you know, we got to be careful when we talk about Gary Busey. We go into this black hole of topic-less discussion. So let's climb out of that hole, and let's get to the Entertainment Entree, and let's kick things off with Mike's report on This Week in Entertainment. What do you got? What's new?
Well, first up, obviously, in TV, we have Super Bowl 49 to watch this Sunday.
Yep,
sounds like
right.
A given.
Well, no, but it is a TV event.
It is a huge TV event.
Even if you don't like football, it is its own, you know, spectacle.
That's how I started watching the Super Bowl, was watching it for the commercials, actually. So,
really?
You know, there's, back in like the mid-90s, you know, I was young, I didn't really understand about football, so I watched it for the commercials, and I got hooked on the sport. So there you go.
I just shipped my bed.
Yep. I was so excited that I shipped my bed.
Yeah, boy. Watch out.
I just shipped my bed.
So, yeah, even if you're not a football fan, you should definitely check out Super Bowl 49, just because this one's shaping up to be a great one. Mm-hmm. But after the Super Bowl, one of the bigger TV dramas on NBC is coming back, The Blacklist. Now, this is a show that you know, James Spader is just amazing, and he's been nominated for a couple of Golden Globe Awards for this role. The show is about an ex-criminal that helps the I think it's the FBI, track down their list of most wanted criminals. So it's a good crime drama. For those of you that enjoy that type of stuff, it should get a big ratings boost after the Super Bowl. So also expect it to have a really big, important episode. So if you're a fan of that series, make sure to check that out.
Yep. I mean, the best spot to be in television, besides actually being in the Super Bowl, is the programming after the Super Bowl.
That show always gets like a huge ratings boost right after that. Because people just leave the TV on, you know? They're just sitting there. I think we watch
You're in a food coma. You know.
You've had so much beer and so many wings, you just watch whatever comes on afterwards.
Yep.
At least that's how the Super Bowl should be.
Yes. I don't know how you guys do Super Bowl, but that's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. Harumph.
Yes.
From Blazing Saddles.
Food and beer. Yeah.
Yes. Another awesome thing, though, is video games. And this week, a couple of interesting games coming out. A re-release, Grim Fandango, is coming out on the PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, PC, Mac, and Linux. This is a game that originally released way back in 98. It is a dark comedy neo-noir point-and-click adventure game. So if you're a fan of any of those topics, it might be one to check out. It's made by Tim Schafer, the same guy that was behind Brutal Legend with Jack Black. But this is proving to be a very successful re-release. It's getting great review scores, 9 out of 10. So it seems to be something to check out if you want to, you know, have that nostalgia trip and play a classic adventure game. But in terms of new game releases, we have a game called Life is Strange. Now, this is an episodic game. This type of game has been gaining a lot of popularity the past couple of years, where they release an episode every couple months. Telltale did this with The Walking Dead. This game is not by Telltale, but it's being released episodically. It's a mystery adventure coming out for PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. It focuses on two girls trying to unravel the mystery of a mutual friend's disappearance in a strange town. So if you like mystery, thriller type stuff, this one might be one to check out. Buzz about it has been relatively positive so far. So that's coming out this week as well. Make sure to check out those two games. And in the world of movies, we have a couple of interesting ones. Timbuktu. Yes, Timbuktu, an Oscar-nominated foreign language film. It's been getting great reviews so far. It's currently holding an 83 out of 100 on Metacritic. It's about a cattle herder and his family who reside in the dunes of Timbuktu, find their quiet lives, which are typically free of the jihadists determined to control their faith, abruptly disrupted. So it's a drama. It's been getting some buzz, obviously, because
that sounds like an Oscar winner.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like it's probably going to take home the Oscar for foreign language film, which is why, you know, we're recommending it if you're into foreign films. If not, you can at least say that you went to Timbuktu, you know, in movie form, but you've been there.
Good job.
Yeah. Thank you. If you're not into foreign language films, if you just want a classic thriller type movie, we also have The Loft coming out. The Loft, it has a very dark plot. It's about, the synopsis is five married guys conspire to secretly share a penthouse loft in the city, a place where they can carry out hidden affairs and indulge in their deepest fantasies. But the fantasy becomes a nightmare when they discover the dead body of an unknown woman in the loft and they realize one of the group must be involved. So,
ooh, that sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting. It's got a little bit of mystery. It's a thriller. It's, you know,
I assume it's got sex.
Yes, it does have sex.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
If nothing else, the trailer, if the trailer is anything to go by, it does have a couple of steamy scenes and some violence. So those are like the two best parts of movies, right?
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yeah, so see, they like it, so maybe you guys will like it as well. So there you go. Go check out Timbuktu and The Loft. But you know what, Rich? The movie news doesn't end there.
Nope. There's kind of a little bit of a leak with the upcoming Ghostbusters project, which is
going
to be an all-female cast, from what we've been told, and this is leaked of the possible Ghostbusters cast members.
Yes, this is a movie that's been sort of in limbo, but now it's starting to take form. The latest reports indicate that the four female Ghostbusters will be Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon.
I believe all of them Saturday Night Live alumni.
I think so. Yeah, I think they're all Saturday Night Live alumni. So very funny ladies, Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy especially. You know, in Bridesmaids. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That movie was so funny. So I'm looking forward to seeing those two together again on the big screen. What do you think about this cast?
If
it's official. I mean, right now it's just rumors.
That's the thing. It's all rumors right now.
But they are in negotiations right now. Negotiations are ongoing. So it's looking like that will be the cast. So what do you think about this?
I mean, if you're going to do an all-female Ghostbusters cast, that's a pretty good lineup to have.
That is a very good lineup. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing Ghostbusters in the modern era.
Yeah, you know? On the big screen.
Back on the big screen. Yeah, I want to see it updated with like better special effects. I want to see how they're going to incorporate, you know, modern technology and modern trends and culture in the movie. I don't think it's going to be set in the 80s or 90s. Do you?
No. It won't exactly be Ghostbusters 3, but it'll probably be a faithful spinoff of the series.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what it's going to be. They say a reboot. So I don't know if they're completely doing away with the other two or if they're going to be reimagining the original plot. I'm not entirely sure what the scenario is here.
Yeah, it's probably going to be... You know, the future of the Ghostbusters franchise is taken up by these four women.
That's what my money is on.
Yeah.
And that seems like a solid plot choice.
Right. So there you go. Some interesting rumors for the possible Ghostbusters female cast.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Ghostbusters in any incarnation is good.
Yeah. All right. Can we get to the controversy in the entertainment entree that I've just...
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to put off this controversy. We're trying to talk about something happy for once.
No more controversy!
Yeah, I know. People have this insatiable appetite for controversy and turmoil. So what is going on now in the world of entertainment that is so controversial?
Well, now we're talking about sports entertainment.
Okay, that can only mean one thing.
Yeah, time for some good old-fashioned wrestling.
Wrestling.
WWE news. And, you know, this takes place right here in Philadelphia.
Yes,
it does. Royal Rumble was over the weekend. And, you know, the Royal Rumble, for those that don't know, is the kind of the Kickstarter to the road to WrestleMania. I mean, when you in the wrestling calendar, when you hit Royal Rumble, it's like the playoffs. It's like this is it.
Yeah.
We're building up towards WrestleMania, which is the Super Bowl of all wrestling events.
Right.
And you know, last year there was controversy because the fan favorite Daniel Bryan wasn't even in the Royal Rumble match.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
He wasn't. Yeah, that's weird that he wasn't even part of it.
Right. And a kind of a new favorite that was kind of gaining momentum at the time, Roman Reigns, was in it for a good chunk of time, made it all the way to the end, but was eliminated by veteran wrestler Batista.
Well, of course, because...
Because he was promoting his role in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Of course.
Yeah.
I remember, people, that wrestling is scripted.
Right.
So, you know, they have control over who wins, you know, to promote whatever storyline or brand they want to at the time.
That's right. So, last year, it was bad. The backlash was crazy.
But
there was
so
much
heat. They had to have known it was going to happen, though.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it sounds good on paper. Hey, Batista, come on back. Do a thing like The Rock where you only wrestle for a couple of months right before your movie hits. Get some, you know, fame with any new fans that might have just joined WWE.
But the fans weren't having it because they could see straight through that.
Yeah. And they booed the crap out of Batista. Got to the point where they had to put Daniel Bryan back into the picture.
Wow.
And they had Daniel Bryan end up winning the main event at last year's WrestleMania. So now we're about to start the same process over again.
And of course they made all the right decisions this time, right?
Oh God. Absolutely not. And possibly in the worst place to do it, in Philadelphia, yeah, where the Philly fans will not give you an inch if you,
no,
you know, mess things up. So now now we're going to fast forward to last weekend. And here's what has happened since last year's WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan did leave WrestleMania last year as the champion, but got injured, okay, and had to lose and had to vacate the title because he had to go get healed and everything.
Right, right.
So in the meantime, Brock Lesnar became World Heavyweight Champion, and that's where the championship went from there. But now at this WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan is back to full health.
Right.
So it was kind of expected that, you know, maybe Daniel Bryan would be in the mix to win it all. Unfortunately, he was in the match pretty early on, which, you know, it's one of those things where in the Royal Rumble match, you might enter in early and still win.
Right. Well, maybe you should explain the Royal Rumble it's a 30-man fight, right?
Yeah, it's a 30-man battle royale.
And everyone enters after, they enter one at a time after, what is it, like a minute or two?
Right. Each wrestler gets like a minute or two before the next one has to enter the ring.
Right.
So I've got this clip here. This is the end of Daniel Bryan's stint in the 2015 Royal Rumble.
Okay.
And you can clearly hear all the excitement going on, and then just the stadium just groan when he gets eliminated. So here's the clip.
You think they love Bryan in Philly? They love him all over the world. Yes. Yes.
Thank God he only has 2 feet. If he's an octopus, he might beat everybody up. Uh-oh, caught.
Bray Wyatt eliminates Daniel Bryan.
So, yeah, they were not happy.
Yeah, right away, the crowd turned hostile.
How long was he actually in the ring, though? Was he in there for a while?
He was in for a little bit. But unfortunately, didn't last too long. And then the rumor mill swirled, and we all knew that Roman Reigns, who is kind of handpicked as the character that is kind of supposed to be the next big hero role in WWE.
Right.
He comes out, and you can already tell the fans don't like it.
Okay.
And I've got the clip of Roman Reigns making his entrance. Now, keep in mind, this guy is supposed to be, in terms of the WWE storyline, he's supposed to be like the hero.
Right. He's the good guy.
Right.
He's the one you're supposed to cheer for.
Right. And here you go. This is his entrance.
Number 19. Roman Reigns, who made history, John, last year. Eliminated over 40% of his competitors. A record 12 competitors were eliminated last year by Roman Reigns.
How many people have won from position number 19?
One person, John Cena, in 2013. Roman Reigns entered 15th last year, lasted over 33 minutes. Came down to the final two with Batista last year. Roman Reigns hopes to change that tonight.
You can just
hear all the boos.
Yeah, it just doesn't stop from the moment his entrance music rings in.
That reminds me of the time, wasn't it the NHL draft was held here? And the fans
booed every team but the Flyers.
Yeah, they had like a statement by the commissioner, and they just booed like constantly for 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. They were just booing nonstop. As soon as his entrance music started, it's like the boo started immediately.
Yeah. And things got so bad that a chant formed in the audience.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
And it's pretty telling.
Hey, look at this. There's what's going to happen. Look.
Big Show. I think he was trying.
Can you make it out?
We want somebody.
We want refunds.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not good when the crowd's saying we want refunds.
Hey, look at this. There's what's going to happen. Look.
Big Show.
We want refunds.
Oh, that's not good.
No, I don't think so. I think he was trying to look.
So.
when your audience starts asking for refunds, you know, en masse, you know, the entire
audience.
The Royal
Rumble hasn't even ended yet. It's still going on in that clip. And the audience is saying, we want refunds.
Wow. Well, it's tough to please Philly fans because we're so passionate about stuff. No, I'm serious. You know, we always get a bad rap, but it's just because we're so passionate about stuff. You know, whatever it is, whether it be football, wrestling, you know, whatever, the NHL draft. We're just really excited and passionate. So, you know, if we perceive that we're being, you know, shortchanged or something, oh boy, you're going to hear it.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, this was also felt with most WWE fans.
Okay.
It got so bad that on Twitter, cancel WWE Network was trending.
Yikes.
So,
that's not good.
I mean, this was, you know, not just the Philly audience. This was, for the most part, the majority of the WWE audience.
So this was the sentiment across the entire fandom then.
Yeah, and it also didn't help that Philadelphia was the venue for this one.
Yeah, they probably spurred it on just a little bit.
Yeah, so anyway, just wanted to bring you up to speed on that. Roman Reigns has won the Royal Rumble. There's nothing you can do to change that. He will be in the main event at WrestleMania for the WWE World Heavyweight title, presumably against Brock Lesnar.
If Brock Lesnar doesn't lose it, right?
Yeah, but chances are they'll let him ride into it.
Okay, wow. So another sort of disappointing conclusion to... Oh, that's not really the conclusion to the wrestling season, WrestleMania, is it?
WrestleMania, kind of. Yeah, that's kinda like the super, that's like the Super Bowl of wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be another disappointing one for fans then.
Yeah, unless something changes. But, again, another Royal Rumble just ending in a chorus of boos.
Yikes.
Just WWE just can't seem to get it right.
And it just baffles me that, again, with an industry that has complete control over these sorts of things, you'd think that they'd be more in tune with what their fans want.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's not like the NFL is actively going out and fixing games, although sometimes you might
not
think.
Yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
Oh, not yet.
The NFL's going, we could do that?
Label ourselves sports entertainment?
Yeah. Well, you know, there were some questionable calls earlier in the playoffs with the Cowboys.
NFLE.
NFLE.
National Football League of Entertainment.
Of entertainment,
there you
go.
It's not sports anymore.
But the point is that, you know, with this industry that has so much control, they should do something to please the fans. Or at least go with the you know, the more interesting storylines, you know? Don't go with, you know, these boring outcomes.
I don't know why they don't run with Daniel Bryan. I mean...
If the fans love him, why not? It would make you more money.
I mean, I know the talk backstage is, you know, Vince McMahon doesn't like small guys. He believes big guys should be the champions.
That's stupid.
You don't have Hulk Hogan's anymore, you know?
Yeah. You know, and you could always go with the David versus Goliath type storyline, you know? Isn't that more interesting than two big guys facing off against each other?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, I feel like wrestling could be a little more proactive in responding to the fans.
Yep, and I agree on that sentiment as well. So, there you go. Controversy in wrestling. Controversy everywhere. And
it doesn't end, though.
No, we even have more controversy.
Oh, my gosh. This is the most controversial Crispy Noodle episode ever.
It's just, yeah, one story after another. And this one has to do with music.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
Yeah, this one has to do with music. And it's one of our favorite bands, I think. I'd say it's safe to say.
I agree, yes.
I mean, we grew up on them. It's Blink-182.
Yeah. All the small things. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to sing your karaoke?
No, that's all right. That's all right.
But yeah, Blink-182, popular rock band. You know, they were pretty big in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they tried to kind of make a little bit of a reunion or comeback.
Yeah, they have been lately. Recently. They have been working together recently.
But apparently, things didn't go so well in the past week.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, Blink-182 was supposed to meet up as a band inside a recording studio to record possible new material for a new album.
Right.
Unfortunately... Mark Hoppus and Travis Barker, which the first one is the bassist and the second one's the drummer for the band.
Yes.
They showed up. They were ready to get going.
Uh-oh.
But lead singer and guitarist Tom DeLonge was supposed to show up, but instead had his manager inform Mark and Travis that he would need more time to work on his solo projects, and would be away from the recording studio for an undisclosed amount of time.
That was
apparently the last straw that broke the camel's back, because it was at that point Mark and Travis decided to officially kick Tom DeLonge, one of the founding members and the lead singer, lead guitarist, out of Blink-182.
Do they have the power to do that? Is it like a simple vote, or?
Well, I mean, you got out of a 3-piece band, two of them are against you. I would say so.
I mean, but don't you have any like contractual obligations, or, you know, he is a founding member of it.
Well, I mean, they were coming back out of a quote indefinite hiatus. I guess at that point the contract doesn't abide.
Maybe,
you know, because they weren't in a band for the last. Since 2005. That was the last time that they appeared on an album together.
Wow.
So, I mean, I guess contractually, I don't think that makes a difference.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. It's just sad to hear that, you know, these guys aren't going to be playing together anymore. But, yeah, they always seem to have some issues. I mean, you know, that's why they stopped recording, you know, way back when in the first place. Right? I think it was...
Yeah, back in 2005, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Tom DeLonge, again, the main cause behind it. But I think it's real. That's not cool that he had his manager show up and tell them that he wasn't going to join them. Like, at least send them a message yourself.
Yeah.
You know, at least give them that much. They're not strangers. You were bandmates and probably real close friends for, like, you know, 15, 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you owe them that much. A text message... Something. Call him. Yeah. Don't send the manager.
Yeah.
That to me suggests that he didn't really want to be a part of it anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what. I also think it goes the other way too. I don't think Travis and Mark wanted him in the band as well, because after they officially kicked DeLonge out of the band, Blink-182 hired Alkaline Trio's Matt Skiba to fill in the role.
Wow, they filled that position pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I think this was a long time coming, to be honest with you.
Probably. It probably was. If they got somebody that quick, they probably knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
They probably had him on standby, like, listen... Any week now, we're probably going to split up, and you're going to need to step in.
Yeah, if DeLonge messes up one more time,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
in.
Exactly, yeah.
And this is what you needed. Bam. This was the straw that broke the camel's back.
What if it's a conspiracy?
Conspiracy? How would it be a conspiracy?
What happens if this new musician actually sent the manager and told the manager to pretend to be Tom's manager? Ooh. No, I'm just trying to stir up more controversy.
More
controversy. No, that's not what happened.
No. So there you go. Tom DeLonge officially out of Blink-182. And that's kind of a big deal, because he's
the
guy you think of when you think of Blink-182.
Yeah, well, him and Mark split vocals, right?
Yeah.
But of course, he was the guitarist as well.
Right.
So you're losing, you know, at least 75% of the vocals and the lead guitar. That's, you know, two big positions you got to fill.
Right. So there you go. Just a strange headline that also popped up in the middle of this crazy week.
That is sad, though. That is sad.
Yeah. But Blink-182 will still move on. They will play the Music Festival in March, and that will be Matt Skiba's first performance.
Wow. So
as a member of Blink-182,
they're ready to go.
Yeah. I you know, that's what makes me believe that this was a long time coming. He's ready to go. I don't know. That doesn't sound like this was a shock.
Yeah, no. I think both parties knew what was going to happen. When Tom sends his manager and doesn't show up in person or even send them, you know, a text or a call or anything, you know that Tom didn't want to be a part of it. And the other two guys being ready with a backup guy, they knew that they didn't want Tom to be a part of it. So, you know, basically it was a mutual decision just done separately.
Yeah.
When you think about it, they both knew what was going to happen. They both sort of wanted this to happen, but they came at it two different ways.
Yeah. But there you go. Unfortunately, if you were a big fan of Blink-182 growing up like we were, they're not the same three-piece set that they were.
Yeah.
But hey, you never know. Maybe it'll be a new beginning for them. I mean, look at Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington. They've been actually rocking pretty good.
Not everybody can get a guy with a name as cool as Chester Bennington. Okay. Yeah.
That is true.
You know, Chester Bennington. This new guy's got a lot to live up to.
Right.
What's his name again? Not Chester Bennington.
No, it's
nowhere near as cool
as
that.
It's not Chester Bennington. That's the bottom line. Matt Skiba.
It's okay.
Not as cool as Chester Bennington. So there you go. I think that will wrap it up for all the controversies going on in the entertainment world as well. Woo! All right.
A lot of controversy. A
lot of controversies. Lots of news headline we had to talk about. I think we're going to need one more break before we get into our craziest segment of the show. The non-fortune cookie odd news is coming your way after the break. Got a lot of good stories for you. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Folks, Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People here on the line. You started out in Florida. Did you move from Florida to New York right off the bat?
No, I moved from South Florida to Philadelphia with my band. Two of the guys in the band had never seen snow.
Uh-oh. We've had a heck of a winter this year, and every time it's been snowing, we play this ridiculous clip here. Let me play it for you.
Play it, please.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk.
They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my god!
No, that is awesome. My biggest pet peeve thing since I've lived in the North is this whole bread and milk thing. I've never understood this. I can't wrap my head around it. When in Florida, so we don't have the snow. We had the hurricanes, right?
Right.
Right.
So our thing was, you get duct tape and batteries.
We've got our new clip for you whenever we've got hurricanes.
That sounds much more practical than just bread and milk, I just have to say.
What does that say?
Yeah, we're up here, we're prepared for French toast.
Yeah, but that's comforting.
Yeah, it is.
Not practical, but comforting.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, jamming out late at night. We got two-thirds of the show done, but we still got one more segment left to go in our crazy, controversial-filled episode.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some controversy in this segment as well.
Yeah, we usually find something to get to find a controversy in because, folks, it is time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
Mike?
Yeah.
Who's pissing you off now?
That bitch. I don't know. That uptight bitch.
Yeah.
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God. I could remember why I said that.
Yeah, you said that. At some point,
the quotes I know, and some of the other ones I'm going, what could we possibly have been talking about,
I love this goat right now.
That one I remember. A goat escaped from police.
In New Jersey.
Yeah, in New Jersey, and ran around on, the interstate or something.
Yep.
Oh, but yeah, that's just a sampling of...
And Mr. Microphone!
Yes, and that one. It's just a sampling of some of the weird things we get up to in the non-fortune cookie odd news. For those of you that don't know, here in the Odd News. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps all the stories secret and hidden from me. I have no idea what he's got, so all my reactions are my gut reactions. It's my first time hearing these stories, so I don't know what's happening. You guys don't know what's happening, and Rich doesn't even know what's happening, because these stories always take us down weird, wacky, wild paths.
Yeah, you just never know where we're going to end up in the non-fortune cookie Odd News.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm cursing out uptight bitches. Other times I'm praising goats. Yeah, you know, you just never know what's gonna happen.
Yep. Should we dive right in?
Let's do it. Let's dive in.
All right, let's do a local story to start off with.
Uh-oh, how local?
This is Upper Darby.
Okay.
Yeah, that's within a drive.
Yeah.
A Pennsylvania pet shop has released security footage of an unidentified thief trying to steal a $600 python by simply shoving it down his shirt.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
How big is a $600 python?
It's pretty big. The pet store, Tails and Scales, released a pair of security videos onto its Facebook page that showed a bearded suspect take the ball python, which has white coloring and blue eyes, and taking it and trying to shove it down his shirt and running out of the pet store. So it's literally just grab, put it down short, run away.
Why didn't he just run away? If he was going to be that obvious about it, why didn't he just grab it and run?
Yeah.
And also, I would be uncomfortable with sticking a python down my shirt.
Yeah.
For some reason, it would... You know, I would like, I don't know if I want a snake that close to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just seems very, very unsafe.
The footage was recently released in the hope of identifying the thief.
It's the bearded guy with a snake coming out of his shirt collar.
Yeah. The store said the snake, which was born during the summer, is worth $600. The Facebook post says that the owners of Tails and Scales will not press charges if the snake is returned unharmed. So they really care about the python.
Yeah, they're concerned for its safety rather than, you know, getting money out of this.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I just didn't know snakes could demand such a high price.
Yeah, I guess so. $600. Especially if it's a rare one, yeah.
Wow.
And it's a local story, so if you're listening in the...
So if your bearded friend has a snake in his shirt, odds are he's a criminal.
Right, and you're in Pennsylvania.
Either that or he's got some type of weird fetish.
Yeah, that's weird.
Snakes in the shirt, oh yeah.
So there you go. A local story just to start this one off. But just blatant, grab the python, put it down my shirt, running out.
The running part would give it away. Like, if you're dashing out of a store, odds are you're not just really excited to get home. Odds are, you know, like, can you think of a logical reason why somebody would...
Oh, this TV's going to be so good, I'll buy!
Oh, my God, I can't wait to drink this 64-ounce Coca-Cola. You know, like, why would you dash out of a store like that?
Yeah.
Unless you just stole something. I mean, like, if you stick it down your shirt and nobody noticed you, because obviously he thought nobody noticed him, you know? So why wouldn't he just, you know, casually walk out of the store?
Yeah. Well, he made it.
I guess it doesn't matter because there's security footage anyway.
Right.
So
he made it out of there, but if you want to check out the footage, go to Tails and Scales and their Facebook page. And you'll see the video and help them try and identify the thief. It is you know, they're obviously worried about the python.
Yeah, the fact that they're willing to not press charges as long as they get the snake back unharmed.
Yeah,
you know, they care about it.
Right. So there you go. Our first story, local story to kick things off the Odd News. Let's go to somewhere actually in a drivable distance if you absolutely had to. We're going to go to Ohio.
Ohio.
And we got two stories.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Ohio trying to make some news in the non-fortune cookie news.
All right, so what's Ohio been up to?
Let me knock out this one first.
Okay.
Police in Ohio say that a Michigan man who was driving away from a traffic stop smashed through a gate and landed right in a prison parking lot. Yeah, usually if you're trying to make a getaway, that's not how you do it. Yeah.
He had a very defeatist attitude. He's like, well,
I'm going to end up here anyway.
I'm going to end up here anyway.
I'll save you a trip.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he figures he'll get out, you know, early for, like, you know, good behavior for turning himself in like that.
Officers arrested the man after he drove around the outside of the Toledo Correctional Institution and then back into the parking lot.
What? So wait, back into the parking lot. So did he start there?
Yeah, I guess that's where he was pulled over. He was supposed to be pulled over for the traffic stop, and then he tried to make a getaway for it and ended up coming back into the prison parking lot.
So yeah, he basically gave up. He's like, yeah. Can I just drive this straight to my cell at this point?
Yeah. it's like Rick Moriarty in the subway. The subway criminal. I just give up. Can I wait in the air conditioner? I'll just stay here.
Should have brought a note.
Yeah, right. Court records show that charges against Jason Davis include vandalism of government property, drug possession, and failing to use his turn signal.
All this because of a turn signal.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Use those turn signals, people.
Yeah, you would have got away with drug possession.
Use turn signals to get away with drug possession.
Yeah. Police tell the Blade newspaper that they were able to arrest David after his vehicle ran over stop sticks that deflated his tires in the prison.
What the heck is a stop stick?
I think that's the...
Like spike strips?
I think it's kind of like that, yeah.
Stop sticks.
Yeah.
What's up with all this political correctness? Oh, spike strips is too violent. We're going to call them the more friendly stop sticks.
Yeah. Like it's a friendly reminder to make your vehicle stop.
Please stop. Boof, boof, boof. As your tires blow out.
$600 damage.
Yeah, exactly.
Court records do not indicate if he is an attorney and is going to fight this. So, there you go.
Oh. It's not looking good.
No. If you start... You drove right back where you started.
If you start in the prison parking lot and back up in the prison parking lot, as you're getting arrested, odds are your fate's already sealed.
Yeah. So, there you go. Our first story from Ohio. Ready for our second story?
Yes.
All right. Well, this one, we're going to follow the case of 21-year-old Christopher Peters.
Okay.
Now, on the surface, doesn't seem like anything crazy. He's wanted by Ohio State Police in connection with several thefts in the state. But
I love how regular crime is, like, totally acceptable in this segment. Yeah. Nothing out of the ordinary. It's just like a mass crime spree. No big deal.
Yeah, right?
So what makes this mastermind criminal unique?
Well, apparently he likes tattoos.
Okay.
And in his last theft, he was spotted with a blue tattoo across his face. And since then, he has been dubbed in Ohio... The Braveheart Bandit.
For one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So inspirational.
If you're going to lead a life of crime, don't put tattoos on your face. It makes you easier to recognize.
Yeah.
What tattoo did was it just like a blue like blue face paint?
Yeah, well, no, it's a blue tattoo. It's permanently on his face.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, but is it just like a blue streak? Is it in Braveheart?
Down, yeah, it's down the one side of his face, like Mel Gibson in
really?
Braveheart. Yeah,
why? He's like, oh, I want to make it easier for the cops to recognize me. Can I get a giant blue patch tattooed on my face?
According to police, Peters was caught stealing 8 times in 2014, and he's now wanted on 3 outstanding warrants.
How does he keep getting away? Like, if you arrest him
he's riding on that horse, and he breaks away.
He'll never take my freedom.
Yeah, right.
One chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take... Oh, freedom!
He's doing a modern-day reenactment is what it is.
Yeah. The Police report states that Peter stole more than $322 worth of merchandise from a Home Depot in March, a $380 vacuum cleaner from Anderson's store in April.
He's just trying to fix up his home is all it is.
A Dyson vacuum cleaner valued at $849 from Target. What? And $220 worth of clothes from Old Navy.
He's just trying to fix up his apartment.
Yeah, trying
He stole vacuum cleaners. He stole hardware stuff. He stole clothes. He's just trying to get by, the poor guy.
You can take our lives, but you will never take our interior decorating!
Yeah!
Ah! Who's with me?
And they just ride into battle on vacuum cleaners.
Well, cleanliness is next to godliness, so if we're going to fight, we're at least going to be clean about it.
That's right. Have you ever seen the movie Hocus Pocus?
A long time ago.
One of the witches rides a vacuum cleaner.
Is it a Dyson?
I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Wait a minute. This is a very expensive vacuum cleaner. Dyson is $849?
Yeah, Dyson. That's like, isn't that the one with the ball?
I think so, yeah.
Well, ball? Is that ball deflated or inflated?
Yeah, man. That ball just makes it. The value goes sky high.
The vacuum cleaner scored 45 points because of that ball. Yeah, but no, the Dyson, isn't it the one with the ball where it turns like really sharp and stuff?
Yeah, I just didn't realize it was up to $849.
I guess. For $800, you could buy so much with that amount of money.
Yeah.
You could buy like...
Can't you buy a cleaning lady at that point?
Hire a cleaning lady for a month. Yeah. You know, really.
$849, damn.
Yeah. That's expensive.
Well, anyway, back to this story. Peters has been convicted of crimes, but prosecutors say that he's at it again. Peters' face tattoo resembles the paint of Mel Gibson's character in the movie Braveheart. According to Bill Hedrick in the official police report on Christopher Peters, he says, quote, "I would call a professional shoplifter who chooses to get a blue tattoo across his face stupid rather than brave, but nevertheless he has the William Wallace Braveheart look." So there you go, it's in the police report.
"Chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom."
So there you
so
go.
So moving.
Out in
so,
Ohio.
So powerful.
The Braveheart bandit is on the loose.
Oh, man.
May he never be caught.
You may, yeah.
May he steal all the vacuums that he wants.
He's trying to raise an army of vacuum cleaners is what it is. Yeah. He stole two vacuum cleaners.
Right.
Why two? Is he dual wielding vacuum cleaners?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's doing one room with one arm and the other room with the other arm.
He wants to start his own house cleaning business.
Okay. So if you want to do it by yourself, you still only need one vacuum cleaner. Is he planning to branch out and hire a second person?
Right. Yeah. He's got.
What's he
going to
pay
the
second person with stolen clothes from Target or wherever it was?
Old Navy.
Well,
I don't know. You could. $220 worth of clothing from Old Navy. That gets you a lot.
Not if you're trying to hire someone for a cleaning business.
I don't know.
Conversion from Old Navy t-shirts to cleaning lady salary?
Are they on clearance or are they new on sale?
I don't know.
Yeah, because if they're clearance, you can get away with some deals.
Yeah. Just steal an entire clothes rack.
Yeah. All right, boy. So there you go. That's what's happening.
So
in
Mel
Ohio.
Gibson stole some vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
That exactly. was his name, right? Mel Gibson?
No, it was.
Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson.
It was Christopher Peters.
Mel Gibson.
That's not even his name in the movie. You're just saying the idea. His name's William Wallace in the movie.
Okay. So William Wallace stole some vacuum cleaners.
There you go.
Mel Gibson. Anyway.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Sure.
All right. You know what? It's time to get to our Florida stories. And guess what? I got a block of them.
A block of them?
Yeah,
oh,
we got three stories from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, we got three stories from Florida. Let me do this one first.
Okay.
Going to Jacksonville, Florida. Why not?
Oh, home of the Jaguars.
Yep.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Well, so what are they doing in Jacksonville with with Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles?
Yeah.
I love that name.
Blake Bortles.
He does have a very strange name.
Yeah, it's just too hard. BB's like it's just
yeah.
Blake Bortles.
And that last name Bortles, like yeah. What is that? Anyway.
Anyway, he's the quarterback for the Jaguars. Anyway.
So what is Blake Bortles doing in Jacksonville?
Well, it might be him.
Uh-oh.
Someone in Florida may be getting ready to throw a Super Bowl bash for the ages at the expense of a local restaurant. Because last week a robber broke into the Jerome Brown Barbecue and decided to steal $4,000 worth of ribs, chicken, wings, and fries from the restaurant, but no money.
Now that's a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
$4,000 worth of ribs and chicken?
Ribs, chicken, wings, and fries.
Chicken and that's redundant. Chicken and wings?
Well, I guess that means like you could get like a breast if you wanted to and
yeah,
and then like wings on the side too.
I guess.
Chicken with a side of chicken.
Yeah. I'll have the chicken and for a side I'll have more chicken.
Yeah, right.
And to drink chicken.
What are we having for lunch today? Chicken. Or chicken?
Chicken. And for dessert, chicken.
Yep. The robber gained entry by prying open a side door and also was able to wing an empty cash register out the door. So that's how he made his escape. Even
why
though
did he go?
Even though
what?
Even though he already opened a side door.
Okay. Well, nobody ever said these criminals were smart.
No.
I spent all that time prying open that door, but I'm going to throw this cash register through this other window.
Damn it. I didn't know you could go back out the same door that I came into.
His whole house.
That's an open door. It's not a closed door.
His whole house just has gaping holes in the walls where he bursts out of every day because he can't use the same entrance.
Yeah.
It's like a video game. Yeah. You can't come in through, you can't go out through the door you came in with.
Yeah, well, because once you pass that door, it closes behind you and you're stuck in that hallway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's video game logic.
Yeah, this is video game logic, yeah. Surveillance video caught the barbecue burglar in the act, but the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office have yet to track down a suspect. The manager of Jerome Brown Barbecue, Erica Morris, is making no bones about her desire to nab the thief.
This is going to be an easy one to solve, though. On Super Bowl Sunday, just drive around and look for, like, massive barbecues.
Yeah.
If some guy is barbecuing, like, 400 ribs, it's probably the thief, you know?
If he's got four large grills full of ribs and another four large grills full of chicken.
He just has a wheelbarrow filled with buffalo wings.
Yeah.
It's probably your guy.
Might be him.
Yeah.
Just rule of thumb. I think it might be him. Also, yeah, who else is getting excited? Because Jacksonville's not in the Super Bowl.
Well, this is what they do to drown their sorrow. It's just barbecue sauce and hot sauce everywhere. Forget the alcohol. They're just chugging hot sauce.
There you go. Manager, Erica Morris, says that, quote, this incident that happens hurts everybody. It hurts employees, managers, and the business owners. We wish that if anybody knows something about it, please turn the person in. Anyone?
Yeah. If Bob came home with 1,400 bags of groceries.
Yeah. Well, you went a little heavy there at Costco's, didn't you?
Yeah. Sure. What'd you pick up at the grocery store, Pa? Ribs and ribs and ribs and ribs and ribs.
Well, anyone with information about the barbecue burglary is asked to contact the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office.
So you have the Braveheart Bandit and the barbecue burglar.
Yeah.
Lots of alliteration. I'm loving it.
Yeah, we got some interesting villains at play here tonight.
Awesome.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
Another Florida story, if you will.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep. I never realized this, but we had a fan of the show contact us and say, because of all the odd news stories that we've done of Florida, she will never move to Florida. She'll never even consider it ever.
You know, I think it might be kind of fun to go to Florida and see all this craziness.
Oh, it would be fun to go see it.
But not live there.
But not live there.
That is a valid point.
Yeah, she said that listening to our podcast that she'll never live in Florida because of us.
So we're really bad travel agents.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry,
yeah.
Florida.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Oh, whoops.
So what else happened in Florida?
All right, here's our second story from Florida.
Oh, God, that's right. We have three of them.
Yeah. Here it is. Hopefully this Florida couple has corrupted their last keister because the bogus butt doctors Samela and Pedro Hernandez have officially pleaded guilty to practicing medicine without a license on Thursday.
What did they do? There were so many butt puns in there. I'm assuming it has to do something with butts.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Yep.
Were they sticking pistols up people's butts?
No, but it does have to do with butts.
Okay.
This couple will have to serve 2 years of house arrest with permission to leave for work, plus payment of restitution for their crime.
Work? I thought they were practicing medicine without a license. They don't have jobs.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to find different jobs.
Okay.
The couple were arrested after an investigation revealed that they ran an illegal clinic out of their home.
From if you're going to someone's home to get medical, to get surgery, it's probably not a good idea. You mean this kitchen isn't a sterile operating room? Are you kidding me?
I thought it's holistic.
It's holistic medicine, yeah. When somebody comes at you with a steak knife and says it's going to be a small incision, it's probably a bad sign.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
And when they say that they put a pistol up your ass, that's an even worse sign. I'm afraid to ask what type of medicine they were practicing.
Well, apparently,
something with the butt, obviously.
Yep. They gave clients that wanted this done posterior injections of a silicon-based solution.
Oh no. Something like this happened in our area, didn't it?
Yep. Well, this was bigger down in Florida because this couple was doing it as often as they could.
Oof.
But instead of using the proper silicone that is recommended by the United States by the U.S., instead, they used a dangerous solution that was imported from Colombia that is banned because it has been found to cause cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
So apparently they thought that was the cheaper way to go. And we're
cheaper
offering...
and more lethal, yeah.
Right, exactly. One of their clients tipped off detectives when the implants the Hernandezes gave her became, quote, deformed and sensitive.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, this is... I feel so bad for those... I don't know. Can you even call them patients at that point?
Or like
human experiments?
Yeah. The couple's lawyer insisted that the couple's clients were satisfied with their procedures.
Oh, yeah. Totally satisfied. My ass is like all messed up and out of shape and it's causing cancer. It got cement in here or whatever they use from Colombia.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Yeah, you might as well.
Samela Hernandez.
They did the operation in their freaking living room. They're totally satisfied.
They're watching The Price is Right in the meantime. Yeah,
they're stabbing you in the wrong spots.
Yeah.
That's not my butt. Shh, be quiet.
Shh. I need to find out if this guy's going to win Plinko.
Drew Carey's on. Be quiet.
Well, Samela Hernandez had worked.
Salmonella Hernandez?
Nope.
Okay.
Samela Hernandez had worked in the thriving buttocks implant market in Colombia. The lawyer, Robert Perez, says that, quote, of the hundreds of patients, only one person came forward to complain. Everyone else was satisfied with their posteriors.
Just everyone else knew they were committing a crime. They don't want to, like, confess to the police that, yeah, I got illegal butt implants.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
That's embarrassing to admit.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man.
But they have been found guilty and will serve 2 years of house arrest.
Really? This is only 2 years of house arrest?
Yeah.
It seems like... I mean, they were doing this out of their house, probably.
Yeah.
They're letting them continue with their work. Does that seem messed up?
It's Florida.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's see. They were operating an illegal butt implant shop out of their house, so we're going to convict them to house arrest. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Smart,
yes. I am judge. I make good decision. I don't know what the judges in Florida. Yeah, I don't know.
They can't construct sentences now?
Me find you guilty. Me say house arrest.
I am the law.
Yeah, we got.
I am the law.
I get Stallone down there.
I am the law. You betray the law.
You betray the law.
Yeah.
I am the law of Florida.
You betray the law.
Oh, we would make great Florida judges.
I am the law.
Yeah, we just use Stallone clubs.
Yeah.
The evidence has been falsified.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What is the ruling? I am the law.
The evidence has been falsified.
Oh.
So there you go. Apparently, we have Judge Stallone in Florida if we need counsel on our cases.
The evidence has been falsified.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, I forgot. Yeah, it's our third Florida story.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, I forgot we have a third one.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if we can take much more of this.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I'll tell you what, though, I think you're gonna like this one. This one sounds up your alley.
Okay.
A woman in Sandestine faces charges for theft of a pickup truck after she allegedly told deputies that even though she knew it was stolen, she said, quote, I didn't think it was that stolen.
What does that mean? Is that like half stolen?
Like it's a scale of stolen.
Yeah. On a scale of one to stolen, I'm gonna give it a blue. I feel like Conan O'Brien's reviews now, you know? On a scale of stolen. What does she mean it wasn't that stolen?
Officers noticed the truck, which matched the description of a stolen vehicle out of Crestview, was parked in Destin, according to the arrest report. Deputies confirmed that the registration was that of the stolen vehicle and spoke to the only occupant they could find of the truck, 58-year-old Deborah Jean Mason. She said that the truck belonged to a man she knew as Cole, but wouldn't look at officers when asked if she knew the vehicle was stolen. She eventually said that, quote, I knew that Cole stole the vehicle from his mother, but then he let me borrow the vehicle. When officers pointed out that, hey, you knew that the vehicle had been stolen, and she replied, I didn't think, quote, it was that stolen.
So I guess she means that...
She thought that since she didn't actually steal the vehicle herself, she was okay to drive the stolen vehicle.
Right. Or maybe that because the guy stole the vehicle from his own mom, that it wasn't, like, as severe as stealing it from a dealership? What is that on a scale of stealing, like 1 to 10? Where would you rate that, Rich?
It's still stolen.
So you're not going to give it a number rating?
There's no varying process on this.
I'd give it a 7.8, I think.
You're like a judge at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they took off for... Oh, bad entry, yeah.
Oh. You stole it from your mom. That loses some points.
Yeah, knock off a couple points for that. They didn't stick the landing. They did get caught by the police.
The Russian judge screws you.
Yeah. Oh, damn Russians.
Oh, yes, we steal everything. You no impress us.
Russians steal everything. Rich Liebig,
2015. Yeah.
We steal everything. It doesn't impress us.
Yes. Russia 2015. We don't care.
Oh, man. I just can't get over that. It wasn't that stolen.
Yes, that's what she said to the cops.
I want to know what the cops said in return to that. Like, no, stolen is stolen. There's no varying degrees of stolen.
Yeah.
Like, if you steal something, but then you feel bad about it, does that take some of the stolen score off?
Yeah, I guess you lose points.
So, like, you steal something, it's a 10 out of 10, but then you feel remorse. Does that make it, like, an 8 out of 10?
You get penalized.
You get penalized? How do the stealing scores work? Is the more it goes up, is the more stolen it is? Or is it the more it goes down, the more stolen it is?
I would have to imagine, if we're really going to do this...
we're going to grade stolen objects.
It would have to be whether or not you know the person, because I think it's easier...
I think we need an algorithm.
Would it be easier to steal something if you knew the person or if you didn't know the person?
But wait, how are we grading this on how stolen the object is or how good the stealing was?
Oh, you're talking about the actual act of the steal?
Well, no, I'm talking about she
like Ocean's 11. Like if we're planning a huge, elaborate bank.
No, she said. She said it wasn't that
like
stolen.
Ocean's 11. That's a 10 out of 10.
Well, no. I mean, this lady said it wasn't that stolen. So, like, what does that mean? Like 50% stolen?
Quasi-stolen.
It was semi-stolen. That's what I want to know. Like, out of 10, how stolen was it? Was it, like, 50% stolen, 75% stolen? How do we judge how much something is stolen?
I don't know, but that was her excuse.
So 60%.
Quote, it wasn't that stolen.
Oh, well, in that case, you're free to go. Yeah. She just leaves in the truck.
Right. Well,
so there you go, kids. Just tell them, I didn't think it was that stolen. I didn't think it was that murderish.
Yeah, at that point, you can use it on any crime.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
He's dead. There's not, like, half-white
dead. I didn't think he was that dead.
Yeah.
He's semi-dead. He's cold. Yeah, but there's some ambiguity there. He's blue. Yeah, but I'd still say about 80%.
There's still blood in his penis. Doesn't that count for anything?
What type of crimes are you committing? Why did you take his pants off? You murder someone. And you're like, give me those pants.
See? See? He's not that dead. There's still blood rushing to his penis.
He's not. Which actually does happen when you die, apparently. Yeah,
that's what I was. Yeah.
So you hit the ground and something else pops up.
Right, yeah. See, he's not that dead.
He's just happy to see us.
There you go.
He's saying hi. Hi. Ma'am, put your husband's pants back on.
Unfortunately, this lady did not get away with it. She is now charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle.
So Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just say Grand Theft Auto? They didn't want to be like a video game.
Yeah, Florida's too good for them.
Florida's too good for them. You know? Oh, please.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So there you go. That's our Florida stories for this episode. I got three more, though. You ready for the rest of the news?
Yes.
All right. This is one that, you know, there are not too many odd news stories that you wish happened to you.
Yeah.
But this one, where do I find this? I want to find this kind of establishment.
So wait, you're saying you want this to happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
A New Hampshire woman got a surprise at the Burger King drive-thru. Instead of getting her burgers, she got a bag full of cash.
Who makes that mistake?
Yeah.
Is it quarter pounder or a fistful of $20 bills?
Yeah. Which way does it go?
Which way, yeah. They're standing at the register like, wait, do I give them the hamburger or the money? Somebody definitely got fired.
Janelle Jones said that she discovered on the way home that the bag did not contain the Junior Spicy Chicken Sandwich that she had ordered, but instead had $2,631 all in loose money.
Who did that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Did she go back and be like, I wanted a sandwich, my order was wrong?
Well, Matthew Jones says that who's Matthew Jones? I jumped the sentence.
Plot twist.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
The lady was actually a man named Matthew Jones.
No. Well, anyway, the couple decided to return the $2,631 because, quote, they are Jehovah's Witnesses, and they said, quote, Jehovah sees everything.
Whoa. So yeah. He's like Santa Claus.
Yes.
Jehovah is Santa Claus.
Jehovah has the good list of 200,000 souls that will go to heaven and the bad list that will all go to hell.
Yeah. He's a jolly person.
Jehovah.
Jehovah, yeah. Oh, boy.
Well,
so did they get a reward? Also, how did the money get in there?
Yeah. What employee mixed up?
No, I know exactly what it was. It was a drug deal gone wrong. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Yeah, that's probably how they did. They probably
Why exactly $2,631?
It's a very specific measurement.
Yeah, this drug dealer doubles as a banker. Yeah.
1.387 grams, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's the going rate? I have no idea.
$30.52 for every gram of cocaine times by 8.67 ounces. I don't know.
And fries.
And fries. Oh,
don't forget the fries.
I don't want fries with that.
Yeah, I'll take one cocaine Happy Meal and an extra order of fries.
Yeah.
The toy is the cocaine. But no, I think it was probably a drug deal gone wrong, is what it was.
But
there's no other reason for like such an odd amount of money to find its way in, what was this, Burger King?
Yeah.
To find its way into a Burger King bag. And for one, the person at the window not to recognize. And two, the person receiving it's like, this doesn't feel like food. It feels like a bag full of money. Because, you know, food and money probably has two different weights, you know? I'm just thinking.
I also can't believe this is in loose cash.
Yeah.
Like, you would not have been found.
Somebody emptied out one of the registers and put it in the bag. And I really want to know I really want to know why. I can't talk. I'm so baffled. Well, I really want to know why.
Well, there
how.
You go. Where the hell does this happen around here? I want to find out. What drive-through is going to give me
money.
Let me
tell you, I don't follow Jehovah, so he ain't watching me. I'm driving away with that money.
Yeah. So there you go. True story.
Wow.
Going through your local drive-through, and all of a sudden, $2,000. Why not? I got one more story.
Okay.
A Mexican stabbing victim, nicknamed El Caballero, also known...
El Stabo. It's much easier to say El Stabo.
Nope. El Caballero.
What does that mean?
Known as the gentleman.
Okay.
Was so polite after he was in the hospital, despite the fact he needed a pair of scissors removed from his face.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
30-year-old Nandor Carvajal, a friend of the victim, Jonas Monroy, said the men were drinking at a bar in northern Mexico.
They just happened to have a pair of scissors with them.
Well, another patron became aggressive towards Monroy. Carvajal said that Monroy offered to buy the other man a drink. This guy is so friendly.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you hate me? Here, let me buy you a drink.
Well, that's one way to try and get on someone's good side.
Well, guess what? The offer was met by the man randomly taking out a pair of scissors and stabbing him in the face.
Oh, God.
Not... Why in the face?
Yeah, really?
Bam!
Ow. Also, why did he have a pair of scissors with him? Was he expecting trouble?
A lot of people carry scissors, apparently. We had this. We had the woman in that chopped off
the penis.
The penis last week.
Yeah, but that was in their home. You would expect scissors in the home. But if you're going to the bar, you're like, oh, wait, let me grab my scissors.
Yeah.
Who does that?
People apparently have scissors on them.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing some heavy-duty arts and crafts at the local pub.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the attacker fled, and Carvajal drove Monroy to a local hospital where Monroy was nicknamed, quote, the gentleman by staff. Staff were very surprised when the two walked in, and the man with the scissors in his head shook the receptionist's hand, said, good evening, how are you doing?
I seem to have a pair of scissors jammed inside my skull. Could you please assist me?
No. He said, quote, I have a small problem.
A small problem, yeah. I'm losing lots of blood. Please save my life.
And then,
but only if you have time.
And then, quote, would you please help me?
Well, you know, it's good that he's polite.
Yeah.
You know?
Despite the fact he's got a scissor lodged in his head.
Remember your manners.
Yes, even when you're bleeding profusely.
Yes.
Well, at first, the nurses thought it was some sort of joke, but then it turned serious when the man fainted in the waiting room.
But he did it politely.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm going to faint now, so
can I just
move my body out of the aisle to not obstruct other patients?
Kind of reminds me of Mufasa from Austin Powers. You know, help! I am very badly burned.
Yeah,
there are burns covering my body. You remember that scene?
Yeah, he's like, I broke both my legs or something like that.
Yeah.
Let this be a reminder to you all that this organization will not tolerate failure. Some of you I know, some of you I'm meeting for the first time.
Hello there. Anyone? Can someone call an ambulance? I'm in quite a lot of pain.
Okay.
Somebody can open the retrieval hatch down here. I can get out. See, I designed this device myself. Oh, hi. Good. I'm glad you found me. Listen, I'm very badly burned, so if you could just... You shot me.
Okay, moving on.
You shot me right in the arm. Why did...
So, yeah, it's kind of like this guy.
Yeah, very polite while he's suffering tragically.
Yeah.
It appears I have scissors jammed in my head. Please help me.
Yep. Well, when he fainted in the waiting room, that was when they rushed him into the ER. He had been stabbed in the upper left side of his skull.
Ooh.
And the scissors penetrated his parietal... Oh. Stupid science terms.
His... You did all the Spanish names fine. Now it's like the
science.
One... Science. His... Curse you, science.
His parietal...
Parietal.
Parietal, is that how you...
I have no idea. I know that's a thing. I don't know if that's the thing you're trying to say.
It's either parietal or parietal.
Okay.
Brain lobe.
Yeah, that part of your brain.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Prawn.
I don't know. Prawn? What?
I don't know.
Well, luckily he survived. Doctors are saying that he is lucky to be alive despite that big of an injury and that much blood loss. But,
The
polite man survives. The gentleman is still alive.
Just goes to show, good always wins.
Yeah, don't forget your manners, even when you're bleeding profusely.
Let this be a reminder to you all that this organization will not tolerate failure. Some of you I know, some of you I'm meeting for the first time.
Hello there. Anyone? Can someone call an ambulance? I'm in quite a lot of pain.
Okay.
Somebody can open the retrieval hatch down here. I can get out. See, I designed this device myself. Good. I'm glad you found me. Listen, I'm very badly burned, so if you could just... You shot me!
Okay, moving on.
You shot me right in the arm! Why did...
And there you go. That ends the non-fortune cookie. Odd news for this week.
Oh, you shot me right in the arm.
Why would you... So there you go. All right. Well, you know, before we start to officially wrap up the show, we like to do a little recap of everything that we've learned on this crazy show. We call it What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind loves flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
First up, you just said it, Rich. Remember your manners.
Yes.
Even when you're bleeding profusely out of the scissor wound in your head.
Yep. I've also learned that apparently people carry scissors with them.
Yeah.
Just in case you have the random art project.
Yeah. You know, you're going out for a night on the town. Make sure you bring your scissors in case you run into any hardcore
construction paper,
arts and crafts.
Glue.
Yeah. I mean, you never know when you might have a crazy round of scrapbooking.
Yeah.
You know?
Macaroni pictures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Wild times, right?
Yep.
We also learned that Jehovah is Santa Claus. Always Woo! Watching.
Yeah.
But speaking of always watching, don't let Jehovah see you stealing things. Because apparently, according to Rich, Russians steal everything. So they're not impressed.
Yep.
By these petty little crimes.
You will not score high if you have a Russian judge on your stealing competition.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of stealing competitions, they won't be impressed with these half-stolen objects, because apparently there are degrees of stealing and murder, according to us.
Yep.
And Rich said, as long as there's blood in the penis, it's not that big of a murder.
Yeah, you're not that dead yet.
You're not that dead yet, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, he's waving. Hi. Oh, but you know, if you do get charged with a crime, maybe if you're down in Florida, you'll get Judge Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, he almost makes as good a judge as we would be.
He's our co-counsel.
He's our co-counsel, yes, yeah. Exactly.
I am the law! Thank you. We'll accept that.
What a great verdict.
Yes.
We also learned that alliteration abounds in this odd news with the Braveheart Bandit and the Barbecue Burglar. 4 B's.
Yeah, it was early in the segment.
Yeah, I don't know. Just very, very strange in this strange odd news. But speaking of the Braveheart Bandit, apparently William Wallace lives in Ohio and steals vacuum cleaners.
Yep, and don't take away his vacuum cleaner!
That's right. That's how he's going to, you know, charge in the battle and gain his freedom of vacuum cleaners.
Yes.
Yes. And finally, make sure, if you want to get away with drug possession, you use those turn signals.
Yeah, because you can get caught and ruin the whole deck of cards.
Yeah, exactly. So, you see, just simple using turn signals, it'll get you out of a jam.
Yep. I've learned that the Super Bowl has so many ridiculous things that you can bet on.
Yeah, including which will be more, Russell Wilson's passing yards or the national gas average?
Yeah, in pennies.
In pennies, yeah.
So,
crazy
good
stuff.
Luck. Good luck with your bets this weekend. And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo! Man, what an episode.
Oh, that was a good one. Talk about the Super Bowl and lots of crazy entertainment news, lots of controversy.
Yep, controversy.
With some wild, odd news.
Yep. Folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our best bits, interviews, and other funny videos. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, phone, or tablet.
That was apparently the ghost of...
God, our systems are possessed.
Yeah, that was apparently the ghost of... the
technology past.
Yeah, just coming back to haunt us.
Yeah, but anyway, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. That way you can listen to it anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
That's right. We have a SoundCloud page where you can get the best bits of the Crispy Noodle condensed into 1 to 2 minute promos, which we call mini noodles. And you can share that with friends, family, strangers. Why not?
Yes. Share it with lots of strangers.
Yes. It's a great way to break the ice.
It is. Yeah. Just whip out your phone and start playing some of our mini noodle clips.
Yeah.
So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us individually on the Twitters. All right, I think we might have to get going before the ghost of the next technology ghost haunts us or something.
Yeah, really. The technology is turning against us.
It might be Russia. I might have made too much fun of Russia. They're
coming
now.
You might be right.
Yeah. They know my iPad's stolen. I'm going to get a bad stolen score. All right. Well, we better go then. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. See you guys next week.
See you guys.
Have fun watching the Super Bowl. Woo!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people. That's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!